I'm not a visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 165 for Monday, February 19th, 2018.
Yep.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Boop Show. It's good to be here. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Dunaway. Hi. Hello.
Good job, Scott. How are you?
Good. I have in my hand a brass, yes. Look at this, a brass D20 die. Look at this thing.
What?
Yeah. I don't remember where I got it, but I love it. It's very heavy.
Maybe you found it in a bird's egg.
Maybe. I don't even know if this is brass. It looks like it's colored like brass, and it's heavy. Like it's metal for sure, but I don't know if it's really brass. Maybe painted that way.
Aluminum?
I don't think it's aluminium, as our British friends would say.
No.
I don't actually know. I'm going to put it over here.
Why would you even have such a 20-sided dice anyway?
I don't know. Someone gave it to me years ago, and I wasn't playing D&D at all, but I just thought it was cool, so I've had it like on a little shelf, just kind of hanging out. And now that I'm playing D&D all the time, I think about it sometimes, you know?
Is that possibly not the most nerdy desire, is a 20-sided die?
Maybe.
It's something about it that just grabs the nerd's soul and it says, yes!
Yeah.
This is nerdy as it gets.
Sure. There's some really good app rollers on phones. Right. Android and iOS have all kinds of cool little
Maximum? Here's a trivia question for you. What's the maximum number of sides a dice can have and still
function, still land on a side without being round?
Right.
That's a good question. Are there any bigger than 20? Let's see.
Oh, there's definitely bigger than 20.
D20. I'd never looked at this. Larger most than D20. It says a 1D20. Or sorry, a D120 is the largest mathematical fair piece of dice possible. Now, you could go bigger, but why would you?
Good luck trying to wait for that thing to stop rolling.
I want
at 120
big,
sides.
I want one I can have in the house. It's like this big.
Right.
Can I get a big
so
one
I'm
like
not,
that?
Yeah, so I'm talking about number of sides. You're talking about actually size. I'm talking about number of sides, right?
No, they are too. 120 sides is as much as you can do and have it still be fair, meaning
right.
Not pivot in a way that you could still... You have to be able to read the result, right? Like what number came up. And so that's as big as you can get and have that still be possible somehow. I can't even imagine what that looks like. There's probably something here.
I want to say I've seen, or I remember seeing, like something like in the 64 range or something like that before. What's the number? I've definitely seen larger than D20, but it wasn't anything crazy like over 100. I remember it being something like that.
Oh, I found it. Okay. So here's a D120. Hold on. Son of a goat. Sorry, chat room. This is weird, I know, but I want to
is
show
it
you this.
D48 maybe? Does that sound like?
I don't know. I don't think so. Okay, this one is a full 120-sided dice. Oh, look at that. Okay, they don't sell this anymore where I'm looking. I put it in the chat room. It's an Amazon listing, but you can see how they've crammed stuff in there. So all your 100s are like curved and pointed down. I don't know what this is for, though. What's this for? Like, what could you with this?
It's more, right? It's more.
I guess so, but you wouldn't play D&D with it. Like, I think that's a weird thing. But anyway.
You know. Yeah, because most of the stats are going to be most manipulated or most maybe most accurately manipulated with a D20.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right. In fact, they specifically call out D20s and say that's what you should be using. However, it's very weird. I don't know if you noticed this. Google Images now launches, and no matter what, they launch to the site where they got the image. They no longer show it individually.
Have you seen the reason why?
No. Have they given a reason?
My gosh. Of course they did. It's been a lawsuit going on for a while. By the way, if you don't know, I don't like Getty Images. And this is just one more stupid reason not to like Getty Images.
Yeah, they kind of threw the gauntlet down, right? Because they're bubbles.
Yeah, and yeah. I've had partners, because what Getty Images does is they're copyright protectors for pictures. They do a lot of stock photos and also photos for news outlets in the type. Yeah. But they have... they have allowed all of these third party aggressive debt collectors, basically, that go out and use programs to search the internet for any images that may be in part or in whole breaking any of the Getty images or the other people they represent. Yeah. And they don't just ask you to take it down. This happened to a client of mine. They don't just ask you to take it down. No, they extort you by going to the highest possible charge for a photo. And they say, it doesn't matter if you take it down. We want $800 for this stock photo, even though it's normally like $20.
Wow, that's insane.
It's insane. Yeah. And they tell you, and they literally can put a they put a bad report on your credit, because they say that since you haven't paid it, you owe a debt of that amount and you haven't paid it next number of days, and they just harass you and they refuse to compromise. Huh. It's the most ridiculous thing ever. It's such a look, I'm all about fair, you know, being fair.
You're a fair guy, right? Fair-minded Brian, right? Believes in being fair. I agree.
Right. But this is all about punishing. Mm-hmm. And it's just not cool.
Yeah, that's not cool at all. Don't punish. Love.
Don't punish. Love. It's Mr. Rogers' 50th anniversary.
Yeah, let's celebrate it by talking about video games. Why not? Someone in the chat earlier said Sea of Thieves is coming out. Scott, you should get it. I'm planning on it. I got a lot of friends who want to play. I didn't do either the stress test or the beta test, so I don't have any kind of feeling about it yet. But enough people I know want to play that I am interested in a Sea of Thieves. What's the release date? Is that soon? Soon. It's March, isn't it?
Speaking of people stealing photos, Sea of Thieves.
Release date. Let's just check real quick. March 20th, so we still have a ways to go.
It's almost there. The day after my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
It's also usually the first day of spring.
Happy future birthday, Brian.
Oh, yeah.
We'll celebrate it again when we get there. All right. So you may remember last week on this show, we said, hey, we should both install and play Rime, which was part of PSN's PlayStation Plus freebie deal. And I had already bought it a long time ago. And had it on Steam, so I thought, all right, yeah, perfect. I'll finally crack that open and play it. You'll play it. We'll come back together here at the table, the meeting table, and we'll discuss our feelings on the game Rime, R-I-M-E. And instead, here's what happened. I installed it with all full intentions of playing it, but because I had so much D&D on the mind, I ended up then playing a complete shit ton of Tyranny and then even more Original Sin 2. I don't know what's wrong with me, but all I can play is like, team-based, turn-based, D&D-like computer RPGs. So
this is all the more reason why you should be playing Rime to get some variety in your diet.
Well,
Your gaming diet is you're going to get gaming diabetes playing that way. You don't want to have just one side. You're eating all sugar.
I've never heard anyone saying gaming diabetes before, but you did, and that's great.
Diabetes.
Yeah, you don't want to get gaming
diabetes.
There you go. So you're right, but I'm just in a hole right now, and I'm really into it, and I can't stop. So that's what
I did. I'm in a hole, and I'm really into it. Please
leave me to
capture
my hole.
It.
Yeah,
and bring it back right here. By the way, Tyranny was on big mega sale this past week on Steam.
Yeah,
I still didn't get it. Is it still on sale until today, right? The 19th?
I have no idea, but it's worth getting. I bought it at launch, so I've had it forever. And I played most of it through as a warrior type, and I decided to go back through as a magic caster. But here's the thing about Tyranny that is interesting. You might look at it and go, oh, Pillars of Eternity, or before that, Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, or Icewind Dale, or any of these older Infinity Engine looking CRPGs, computer RPGs. It is very much rooted in that tradition, no question. However, what sets Tyranny apart, other than I think really good systems, a great magic system, some other stuff, is the fact that you play the bad guy. You're not a plucky young hero who might take down an evil empire. You are the evil empire. And by that I mean, basically you're what's called not an envoy. I've been watching too much of that TV show.
Right.
What's it called? Fatebinder. I'm called a Fatebinder.
A Fatebinder.
Yep. And I work for this guy who is second in command to the all time bad guy. So imagine Lord of the Rings, and you're working for Saruman.
Sauron. Yeah, Saruman. Right.
Or Sauron. Sorry. So you're working for Sauron. Sauron and Saruman, their names are too close, and it always pissed me off.
It really is, yeah. And I always get it confused. So are you? So do you start out on top of a tower somewhere?
No,
to
but
whisper to a moth.
It's funny you say that because I just found a tower, and it's my now home base with like I have teleporter layer stuff there, and I can go anywhere around the world I want, and I'm a complete badass. The reason I go into the world in the first place is I have to drop what's called an edict, and I've been commanded by Dude on High.
Oh, you called an edict? That's what you
I had to drop an edict. That's what I tell my wife, oh, honey, I got to go drop an edict. The edict is that if you guys don't finish off the resistance in this particular part of the world, the entire valley, the entire mountainous region of this place, both good guys and the armies of the evil who are working with us, you're all going to be wiped out and killed if I say this edict and if you don't fix everything within a certain amount of time. Now, it's not like a countdown timer gameplay-wise, but it's like this thing that you know, you all have to do your thing and figure it out. So I do this thing where I go, hibla, bluga, la, hubla, dee, da, whatever, and I get all glowy, and it turns and makes everybody go, oh, shit, he's dropped the edict, we're all going to die, and then we spend the next chunk of time fixing it. So anyway, my choices are, instead of, you know, like, let me help you, I'll serve, whatever. You're chaotic evil pretty much the whole time, but you can spare people's lives. Some of your dialogue choices actually really matter, and they really F you up, but sometimes it's hard for me to do the mean thing. So I'll just say, oh, no, I'll let her, she can live, and everyone's pissed at me because I let somebody live. So it's that kind of game, and it's super interesting. I really like the art style, and it's using roughly the same kind of engine that Pillars used, but some enhanced and advanced stuff. Anyway.
Every time you say Pillars, I always think you're like very southernly saying pillows.
Oh, pillow, give me a pillar.
She had to lay on her pillars, and and when she did, she'd just leave all kinds of hair product.
Yeah.
On her pillar?
I sure wish she'd take a bath before laying down on her pillar. Yeah, exactly. I spent enough time in the South to have heard people say pillar. It's usually pillar or pilla. One of those two. Pillars of Eternity. Anyway, it's really good, and I like it a lot. And then I thought, well, what am I doing here? This is older. I've beaten it once pretty much. There was some stuff I never finished. But, you know, why am I doing this again? Everybody and their dog says, well, you need to be playing Divinity Original Sin 2. And I played one, and I liked it quite a bit. I played the beta for 2, and it left me a little lacking. I was like, I don't know, it's fine, but there's a lot of dialogue in here. I'm reading my book, I feel like, meh, meh, meh. Like, I was a Mr. Complainer about it when it was, they had a beta version that I was allowed to play. And I kind of just put it on the back burner and thought, well, maybe one day, whatever. And then all my friends are into it again, and they're all like, dude, you got to be playing Divinity 3 or 2, and blah, 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 blah. And I thought, well, all right, I mean, I guess it's on sale again. Let's just get it. It's always at the top of the charts on Steam. Like, that thing sold really, really well. And I thought, well, all right, let's give it a shot. Same kind of deal. Overhead camera, 3/4 view, RPG, very D&D-like, turn-based combat, lots of quests, kind of choose dialogue and do stuff. Choose your own way kind of game, right?
Right.
I'm a skeleton man. I'm an undead man. I look like a skeleton.
Are you Skeletor?
And it affects other people. So when they see me, they're like, oh, you're not flesh and you're not flesh. You're only bone. You know, like everyone notices. I have to, when I make friends with people or bringing them onto my team, I can't have to let them know that under this hood, you'll not find a man. You'll find a necromancy undead person. And sometimes people don't like that and straight up will fight me or leave because they're racist or whatever.
I don't like your bony face.
And there's lots of other stuff you could be, humans and dwarves and elves and a million kind of combos of each and different kind of character classes and all this other stuff. So anyway, I went with like an archer ranger style character, and I'm this undead elf guy. So the point of telling you all of that was that when I played the beta, they didn't have any VO in the game. It was just like text. And I thought, oh, well, that's how most of these games are. It'll be mostly text, and that's fine.
Right.
And whatever, but that's part of what left me a little flat. This game, and now I understand why it's 41 gigabytes. Sorry. Yeah, 41 gig.
They have a couple of WAV files, you say?
They have dialogue for every single interaction, including a narrator who will say things in between dialogue, like if you say, I don't believe I will do this, and the lady goes, oh, I see. Well, then we're going to have this discussion at a later time. And then the narrator will go, She walked back to her closet and found a thing and then came back.
Nice.
It's the whole game is like that. And I don't know what it is. It's amazing. It's amazing. Uh-oh. Brian went freezing. You froze.
Hello. That's a really good thing. For what about... Oh, did it freeze?
Yeah, you're back now. You're back. You did this thing where you went and then you froze. And then you went... Oh, cool. And you came back. So you're back. You're fine.
It's a silly question, I know. Right. But I got to ask it. So I assume that there are listeners of the show who are visually impaired to the point they can't see.
Sure.
Would a game such as this be playable by an individual with vision impairment?
Well, if they're blind,
just off the top of your head.
You mean just blind? Right. Do you mean like
colorblind?
Right,
because literally what you're describing is something that is completely described in an audio form.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, I don't think that would help you that much because that isn't the whole game isn't just words. It's me walking around and right clicking, left clicking, picking stuff up, moving things around, throwing a fire grenade into a bunch of oil and setting it ablaze. Yeah. Like
you do.
Like a video game. If you were blind, no, this game's not going to work for you. If you're colorblind or you're like a little impaired or whatever, sure, get in. Water's fine, you know. Anyway, I have this lizard who was a king at one point. He's with me now. I forgot his
lizard
name.
Lizard King.
He's a
it's
lizard
king, right?
It's lizard. His name's, I forgot. But he's a main character in this sort of story they're building. And anyway, I took him. You can actually play as him, but I chose to make my own dude. So I'm playing with him, and I added him to my group. And he's constantly just hoity-toity going, hold on one moment. The king needs a man. And he's a lizard. He's a big lizard man. It's fantastic. Right. I really like it. It's beautiful. The graphics are great. My 1080 runs it freaking flawlessly at ultra settings. And I can't wait to get in there and play it more. So that's what I did instead of playing Rhyme.
That sounds like fun. That's a good alternative. Now, Captain Kipper in the chat room replies to our questions or my question about the vision impaired. He says, I play PC games with a guy who is legally blind. He uses a 30-inch monitor and team kills us from time to time.
Yeah, some people are. We have a guy on our old WoW team. He still plays. I haven't been in that team for a while, but he played, and he's pretty much legally blind. He has to have a screen right up to his face.
Right.
He has some kind of controller setup that some WoW people have figured out a way to kind of make Warcraft work with a controller, but not like just to control it, but like there's combinations of buttons and things that do stuff that you would normally have to rely on your vision for. And he would raid with us, and he'd have great DPS. Like, it wasn't like he wasn't playing, but he was playing a very different game than we were, obviously, because he had to see, you know, this stuff blown way up and contrast set to a certain level and all this other stuff. So it's pretty intense. But I would love for more people to play this because the voice work is killing me. It's so good. And there's actually funny stuff in it. And it's also kind of hard. Like, it's not an easy RPG by any stretch. And the combat works like D&D. You kind of take your turns. You cast your stuff. You can't use everything. You can't use some things multiple times. You can reposition yourself. You have action points for these battles. You can use the environment, like I said. Like, if somebody sets you on fire and there's a water barrel nearby, you can blow that barrel up and it'll put the fire out. But then the smoke makes it really hard for everybody to see. So there's like some, you know, it'll ding your chance to hit and that sort of stuff. Like, everything in the game has a role to play. And it's pretty awesome. So those overwhelmingly positive reviews in Steam are for a reason. I think it's also on PS4 and Xbox now, I think. And you can do controller on the PC. I prefer not to because I don't think it's as good control-wise, but you can, and it works as good as you can expect from a controller for a game like that. It's surprisingly good. So anyway, that's what I did. It's like D&D in my blood. I can't stop playing things like it, and that's just how it's going to be for a little while. But you... like we promised, played Rhyme.
I not only played, I did, and I didn't only play it by myself. I played it while broadcasting it on Twitch. At first I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to play a puzzle game in front of other people, because I knew there was a lot of puzzles, because I'm a little slow. And I didn't know how entertaining it would be to watch Brian try to figure out stuff.
Oh, slow as in you mean the puzzles take you a while to figure out.
Yeah, I'm not exactly the fastest person. I like to take my time.
I understand.
And so I totally played. So I did play Rhyme. I was hoping Scott would show up. I dinged him a couple of times on the PS4 to see if what he'd been playing recently, and Rhyme was not on the list. So I knew before I started this show.
I'm playing it on the PC.
I've already cyberstalked you.
I have it on the PC, so that's where I was going to play it. But
Yeah,
I'm just slow.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm slow getting to play Rhyme is what I'm slow to do.
You were very slow at playing Rhyme. So Xbox originally funded this game, right? It was going to be an Xbox Arcade exclusive back in its origins. And originally it was going to be a survival game. Did you know that, Scott?
Oh, right. I forgot about the origins of that game. That was supposed to be an Xbox exclusive. It's totally not now. Maybe it was was it? Maybe it was a limited time.
It never made it into production while Microsoft was footing the bill. So what happened was they decided that the game they were developing did not fit in with their current structure of Xbox Live. It's mostly the multiplayer and the things we're focused on.
Sure, it was
on.
Xbox. So, as it says here, it was originally supposed to be a PS4 exclusive in the stuff I'm finding.
Oh, it went back over to the PS4.
Okay.
Because Sony picked it up next and said, hey, you know what? We'll do it, because they were having pretty good success with these cel-shaded games. Journey was doing very well, and they wanted to get into the indie market. And so Rhyme came along. They changed the way, you know, some of the story parts. The story parts were, you had a day-night cycle where you would do one thing during the day, such as try to survive and collect, and at nighttime you could set up like a tower defense kind of thing. And it had one way of going, but then they looked at a different way of going. And when they did, that's where this game, I think, started really coming together. This play today, which is the game that is more artistic, is story driven. There are puzzles to solve, but you start out with nothing. You're just a kid and you show up on a desert island. You're on a beach. You're wearing a red cape for some reason. Don't ask me why. I haven't figured that part out yet. I'm getting there. And you immediately start wandering around, trying not to step on crabs, is trying not to get eaten by the seagulls. None of that thing affects you. It's just a story I built in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So you immediately start noticing that there's objects that are glowing or shining in the environment. So you head towards those, and you start solving puzzles. And there's only a few things you can do to solve puzzles, which is be in the right area and scream. That's right. The kid screams. Yeah. So that's pretty much his only ability. He goes, ah!
So that's it? And, that's his power, screaming.
That's pretty much his only power. He's pretty good at climbing. I've seen him do some pull-ups. I wouldn't really call it a power. But, so you walk up to these different idols that are kind of glowing blue. Like there may be like a fox that's kind of glowing blue, and you'll go up to it, and you'll scream, and an energy ball just flies out of it. This is very, like I said, it's a very artsy game. It's a beautiful game. Cel-shaded and everything, and just these great colors, and it just so much mood. The music is fantastic, and you'll yell at an object like a fox that has like this glowing, and the glow will come off of it and it'll fly away, and you run chase after that, and it'll open a door possibly, or it'll land somewhere, and you'll realize, oh, I've got to do that four more times. And so you had to go and look for the next obstacle.
Just like Ico? It sounds like Ico, everything you're describing.
It's a lot like Ico. Mm. It's a lot like Ico. That's a really good comparison.
I like Ico. Ico's great.
Oh, absolutely. And it seems like just all the little things they put in this game just make it a total user experience that is so immersive.
Mm.
The little character, the guy, almost immediately you notice how much love and care was taken with these characters, because it's uneven terrain on most of what you're doing. So you'll go up and down hills. And when he goes down hills, he has this one type of running gait, this kind of, it looks very, I don't know, it looks like it gives it weight, like you're actually going down the hill. And when he climbs up a hill, you can tell, and he slows down just a little bit. So all these little bitty elements just slowly suck you into the story until you just suddenly you've played for an hour and a half and you're like, what'd I even do? Oh, I yelled at a couple of fox statues and I opened a door. Oh my God, what have I do with my life?
Yeah.
But Yeah.
By the way, reviewing poorly on Switch for performance reasons, but really well on all the other platforms. So
there you go. Absolutely. And that was the thing. Back in, I think it was 2016 or so, the Tequila Works, who was the original distributor, repurchased because they were going to, they're the ones who brokered the deal with Xbox. And then I guess the deal moved over to Sony, and then they got the IP back. And so they're in charge of it. Once they did that, they released it to all the other platforms. And most recently, the Switch, I think, got it back in 2017. And you're right. It's not doing as well. You can see this if you go to How Long to Beat. You'll notice that How Long to Beat is a website that allows you to see how long it takes to beat a game. It also allows you to keep track of your backlog, and it will show you what percentage of people have completed the game on different consoles or different platforms. Like the PC is pretty, you know, a lot of people go maybe like 70% complete on that. The PlayStation 4, it was really high up there. Xbox, really high up there. But the Switch, at first I thought, oh, well, it just hasn't been on it long enough. But people are only completing it like 10% or something.
Yeah,
but
looking at it now,
doing
it's
more
actually,
research, like you said.
It's even lower. Let's see. Wait.
So that's not a rating. It's just that people are going, I can't get through it because.
Yeah, frame rate's pretty bad, I guess. So according to that site, main story is going to take you 5.5 hours. Main plus extra, 6.5. If you're a completionist, about 10. Oh, this is cool. I forgot this site existed.
Mm-hmm. It has been such a integral part to my gaming for 2018, where I said, you know what, I want to actually complete games. So I've been picking games that are current years, like in the last year or so, and I've been picking games that are between 4 to 10 hours to complete. So those are kind of the games I've been playing a lot. I've been playing Knack, which I didn't really talk about this week, but I played some more of it.
Yeah.
I played Rhyme. I played at least probably around 3 hours or so. I'm getting pretty far along, but like I said, I'm a little bit slower than the average player. But I'll tell you, the chat room on Twitch, people who were watching me, they were all like, they were watching me struggle, and I don't think they wanted to tell me what to do because they wanted me to discover on my own. And I said, people, no, help.
Yeah,
help now. Yeah. And so they did, and they would go, oh, you got to walk over here and do this. Cause there was like one place I just got totally stuck on. Your proximity to certain objects will make an object glow. And once that starts glowing, you can yell at it because it's activated, and then it'll move to another. It'll just fly away.
I wish that was like real life. I want real life to be like that.
Don't Absolutely. You? Just fly away, baby.
Yeah.
So if I walk up to certain things, some of the puzzles require you to stand in a very specific place.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you have to like light up like three objects. And that's what was going on with this one. I had to light up three objects, but I couldn't get in a location to where I could light up the three objects. And being as thick-headed as I am, I kept trying to figure it out on my own. But I was getting so angry. Why was I getting angry? Not because I couldn't find the spot, but because I was following my spirit animal, a fox. And that little mother humper was standing on a rock, barking it up. Bark, bark, bark. And I'm like, I can't think.
Do foxes Stop bark? It. Do foxes bark?
This one does.
Okay.
And so that's what I was thinking too. I'm like, why is he barking? So he's barking, and I'm trying to figure this out. I'm trying to get the right place, and he's just yapping it up. And I'm like, what do you want? And the chat room's like, Brian, he's trying to tell you where to stand. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, well, here he is. Here's a barking fox. So we can just all hear the sound. Here you go. Hold on.
Why is this? Now, is this a real fox or is this rhyme?
Real fox. Real fox. Hold on. It's I don't know what's
What does the fox say, Driscoll asked.
Oh, here you go.
Driscoll.
Is it? Wait.
Do it.
It's waiting. Does it do it like that? Is that the sound?
Yeah, but a lot more.
Okay. So like just kind of constantly barking like a little yappy dog?
Yeah. And you know, it makes sense. And it's total logic. And this game was originally built to be a sandbox game. So the environment is kind of open, but they've done the developers have done a really good job of keeping me on rails because I am the kind of person that falls off a ledge somewhere.
Yes, you do.
And then I get totally off the track that the developers meant for me to go on. By the way, if you're developing a game and you need somebody to stress test it, send it to me. I'll be in some corner going, well, I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Because that's who I am.
Sure.
So yeah, there's a lot of me doing that. But the music is just sweeping and moody. So when it's even really emotional, when a character is like, when the only character is running in a certain area,
yeah,
his grunts get more emotional. It's a really good game. Giving it to my grade, the artsy hits. Am I breaking up again?
Yeah, but you're back now. It's weird how it speeds up at the end. It's like your internet cat loses you for a second, holds you there, freezes you for a second, and then gently brings you back to life.
It's like the packets are getting stuck, and then it's like, oh, here they all are.
Yeah, then they just vomit all over me, which is fantastic.
Fantastic. But I am trying to uncover a secret in Rhyme, which I'm assuming is going to be the eventual answer to why this game is called Rhyme. And so what I've gathered so far is that I could possibly be a prince of a king. Maybe this island. I don't know. I'm really interested to see where the story goes. So, So I play it, Scott.
That
I don't
want to
get too far ahead of you.
No, it sounds all right. I'm in. I wanna try Rhyme. I wanna play Rhyme. I wanna play Owlboy. You talked Owlboy's a lot
fantastic.
About Owlboy, and so I want to get back to that. So
also played Little Nightmares.
Oh yeah, yeah. How's that going there for you?
It's going great. I made it to the kitchen.
Well done.
I just got out of the lair, and now I'm in the kitchen, and I thought the lair was bad because it had the guy with the long arms. Now I'm dealing with the guy with the fat skin suit.
Oh, that sounds great. He's wearing skin of his enemies? Is that the deal?
He's wearing skin. I don't know if it's his own skin, but if it is his own skin, he's wearing it very loosely.
I'm guessing it's somebody else's skin then.
I can't quite tell. It's almost like it almost looks like he's wearing another outfit, and it's, oh, you would love this part. So you get to the kitchen, and first you got to sneak by. If you've never played Little Nightmares, you're a little small character. You're much smaller than the rest of the characters, and you're basically going through a nightmare. And it's like a Tool video, like I was telling a couple weeks ago.
Oh yeah, Tool.
Like Tool the band.
Yeah.
And so it's very dark. It's very French. Mm-hmm. And so you're going along in your little rain slicker, little kid trying to get through this nightmare. And now I'm in the kitchen area where everything is just gross and it's just meat. Everything is meat. Everywhere you look is a sausage or somebody chopping up meat, and it's just dripping and oozing everywhere.
Wow.
And so I'm trying to sneak past the chef. And of course, he's taking his time because he keeps moving to different stations. And I don't know what's in his mind, but he'll like occasionally go, you know what this soup needs? Another wiener. And so he'll go over to the corner and grab a wiener, throw it in there. And I'm like, what are you doing that for? I'm just trying to sneak by. So I sneak by.
Are these man wieners?
No, they're sausage wieners. They're big, giant,
food wieners.
Nasty looking. Okay. Yeah, food wieners, okay. I suppose.
Sure. I mean, I'm just wondering because he's like wearing his own skin or whatever, or somebody else's skin.
It could be something else, but... So yeah, I sneak by him and I inevitably get caught the first time because you don't really know where your final path is until you actually run past a bad guy and fail, and then as he's eating you, you can see off in the distance. Oh, I need to get over there.
Yeah.
And so none of these deaths that's killed my character has bothered me until this level. Usually. When you would get caught by a long arm guy or something, he would turn away from you and the music would go boom boom and you would go, okay, I died.
Yeah.
No big deal. Yeah. Let's start over again.
Right.
In the kitchen, my man with the skin suit grabs me and he throws me into a pot of boiling water and my character just looks in such pain and I'm like, I almost had to turn it off. I just didn't. I mean, it was much more graphic,
really,
I guess, than it had been. It wasn't like it was bloody or anything. It was just the fact that I actually saw what happened to my character. Before it was just kind of implied, and he turned his back. Who knows? Maybe he snaps my neck. I don't know. Maybe he bites my head off. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he pets me nicely and calls me George. I don't know.
You should play. Final Fantasy or Resident Evil 7 and see what you think about some of what goes on.
If I could understand the control setup on Resident Evil 7, I would play the crap out of that because I like the mood.
It's easy. It plays like a first person shooter. It's easy. It's no big deal. I mean, control wise, if you're using a controller, you just move forward and back and aim with the other hand. And if you're shooting a gun, you push trigger. It's just like a shooter. It's nothing weird. Are you thinking of the wrong Resident Evil game? What are you thinking of? You're thinking of VR? Is that what you're thinking of?
No. Maybe I don't have the right controller set up. The last time I tried to play it, it was like the buttons were all off. It's like, why am I shooting with the triangle looking, the Y button? What is going?
Shouldn't be shooting with that. What the hell is that about? That's weird.
Like, I don't know. And I'm like, I'm trying to turn around and I'm like, I'm not turning. But then if I do the right thumbstick, it turns. But then it's like, so I couldn't understand it. So I finally just quit.
I think that's.
So maybe I need to go back. Maybe
you need to go back in there and check the settings because something went wrong. It plays like Call of Duty or anything. It's just like, move forward with this stick, left stick, right stick to aim.
I played plenty of Call of Duty, but it wasn't playing like that. Yeah. So back to my little nightmare. So first of all, I thought it was only one kitchen guy. I got upstairs into the skinware guy, and there's two toilets up there in a bathroom. Mm. Okay, so maybe there's two people. What's disturbing about it is the proximity of the toilets. They're literally pushed up against each other like a love seat.
Ew.
So there's like this love seat toilet thing going on.
Yuck.
And I'm like, no, is thanks. He like a Siamese twin or something? And I couldn't figure that part out.
Oh, is but that what they do? Is that what, if you're connected to the head of somebody else, do you have to sit on you have to have two crappers right next to each other? How's that work?
What's the cordon?
I mean, if you're sharing
the same head, yeah. Yeah, well, you do.
You are like the girl on TLC, that TLC show right. That used to have the if two you, heads. And if you,
right.
One,
if
and
you
the,
got, if you got, yeah. If you got two buttholes with one head, I mean.
Right. But so if girl on the left doesn't need to go, but girl on the right does, you just have to go in there and wait for him. Is that the deal? I guess so. What else are you going to do?
Not in this game. They decided to make a toilet seat restroom, the love seat toilet. It's very disturbing. Yeah. But yeah, I found his other twin upstairs, and I started getting the idea that, oh, there's two of them. I don't really understand why there's two of them other than just to creep me out.
Yeah, that's what game's trying to do is creep you out. Sure. Well, that's good.
I'm pretty much done with The Kitchen of the Little Nightmares. If you haven't played it yet, it's a great game. I think it's on sale for like $10 on Steam, or has been recently for PC.
Yeah.
Also on PlayStation 4. They had the complete edition. But it's been a lot of fun.
I bought a sale version of that forever ago. Need to just fire it up. Maybe after Rhyme, I'll have a look at that.
Fire it up.
Yeah, we'll have a see. We'll have a look see.
We'll have a two crapper see.
There you go. Now before we get into the news proper and kind of carry ourselves out of here. Overwatch League signed its first female player, everybody.
All right.
This is good news. Shanghai Dragons, who, frankly, could use the help because they kind of suck. They didn't win a single one of their games in the first round. But anyway, Shanghai Dragons confirms that Gaguri will join the team. That's her name. She is one of the new players joining the team. This is a team that has struggled in Overwatch League for its first season. Other new members are joining as well. She's known for her godlike Zarya skills in Overwatch and has recently expanded her character pool to D.Va and Roadhog. So it sounds like a good tank. Anyway, she will be joining the team and we'll see how that goes. But it's cool. The first girl on a team. There's zero reason why more girls couldn't be in Overwatch and esports in general, except for they aren't and they just should be. There's nothing about them that means they shouldn't.
It's good.
It is good. It's great.
It can't be. It's always going to be better when there's more than just dudes.
Yeah. Anytime you can get more than just dirty freaking dudes in there, let's get some ladies in there. Okay. Let's mix it up some.
And then you'll have to explain your love seat toilet to them.
Yeah. And also Brian says toilet and we say toilet here in America. What do you say? Toilet.
I say toilet.
Oh, now you got it.
If I get up in the morning off my pillar, first thing I do is I head to the toilet.
Yeah, you get off the pillar, go straight to the toilet. My dad used to call it a toilet. Like a toilet.
Toilet.
T-O-R-L-E-T. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it used to drive me crazy when he did that.
Well, I can't wait for your kids to tell the stories of what you call your bidet.
Yeah.
Bidet.
My bidet.
Badoo.
My Joe Biden. I got to take a poop on my Joe Biden. All right, here's this. Let's get straight to some Nintendo news. Nintendo Switch has been hacked. That's right, everybody. They've done it. They've cracked it open. It's going to run full fat Linux, and we'll be able to play some Steam games potentially because it could fool Steam into thinking it was running on a Steam box, a Steam Linux box, and just run Steam games. So that's pretty crazy. The Fail Overflow nerds got Linux running on the Switch by using code execution, though they did not say how they got around Nintendo's own operating system and boot process to load up Linux. As a result, people are, in theory, they're going to get ROMs. They're going to go possibly get every Android game ever made will probably run on this thing.
Yeah, everybody's super excited about emulation, if that's what they want to see.
Because if you break this thing apart enough, then emulation happens. Then that happens on PCs. I'm bummed out because I would rather see. I don't like when this stuff gets all torn apart like this. Like, Nintendo's got a rad device. They've got a good business model going. I don't know why we want to tear that down. It seems bad to me.
Absolutely. And the question is, who's bad here? Is it the individuals who want to do this to a machine? I don't think so, because I think as hardware goes, I don't think you can pick up a cheaper piece of hardware that with the kind of power it has, with the quality it has.
Well, it's just a Tegra chip. I don't know about... here he goes again. They're holding him up.
Looking emulation.
And then down. And then down.
And then around.
There you go. You're back. You're back. That's so weird how that sounds. It sounds like you're being lifted up into space and then brought back down after you've been probed in the butt.
I'm pretty sure it was Nintendo blocking her packets.
Tegra 1 chip is what's in this thing, and that's a pretty common chip in some other devices. So it's not like this thing is the most powerful thing around. But, for the price, like you said.
No, but for the controllers, the complete package for that price for a emulator?
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
It's not bad. Yeah, especially if you're going to play, you want retro games. I guess that's a way to do it. I'm personally not going to effectively brick my Switch, but some will, and that's coming up. Microsoft News. A console launch exclusive, Deep Rock Galactic. I say console launch because it's also on PC. I have it.
You have it?
I have a pre-release version on Steam that is not technically public. I think the developer is gave me an early version.
Oh, I hate you. I've been trying to get a key.
Well, I'll tell you, I haven't played it yet, but I will. It's on my list to play.
I've cashed it in.
Deep Rock Galactic is a bearded brainchild of a team of video game industry veterans who hail from leading studios such as IO Interactive, Ubisoft, Havoc, Deadline Games, and Press Play. Some of those I haven't heard of. Anyway, in 2016, they found themselves with an opportunity to start their own company. So they did. The name of the company is Ghost Ship Games, and Deep Rock Galactic is their first title. It's a co-op, first-person space mining game full of dwarves.
It looks like so much fun. If you haven't been to the website, go look at it.
Yep. They've gone completely procedurally generated, fully destructive caves. Every mission is a chaotic blast, they say. Quote, we have had a blast developing the game so far and can't wait to hear from the Xbox community when we launch an Xbox game preview this month. So, if you're into that, keep your eyes on Deep Rock Galactic. And I'm going to get it installed and check it out on Steam.
It looks really cool. If you get extra code, don't be stingy, Scott.
Yeah, give Brian... Listen, Brian needs love, not just me.
Brian needs love.
Brian needs love badly. Valkyrie needs food. All right. What else does Microsoft need? Oh, look, they've also got this Fable. Remember the Fable card game they've been talking about forever? They did a Kickstarter for it, and everybody's like, what? Kickstarter? That's dumb. This is Fable. You guys should just make it. Well, Fable Fortune, the collectible card game from Flaming Fowl Studios. Leaves early access on February 22nd. I didn't even know this was in early access. But anyway, the free-to-play title will go live on PC and Xbox One at that time. Right. Some of the people that are there are ex-Lionhead people, which makes sense because they made the original Fable games. Also, it was originally pitched Fable Fortune on Kickstarter with just a week to go in the campaign. The team had only earned 86,000 of its 365,000 ask amount. That's when the studio canceled the campaign, citing a new source of funding. Since then, Mediatonic, how do you say that, joined the project and received top billing and promotional materials. Fans may recognize the team as the studio responsible for games such as Hatful Boyfriend and Amateur Surgeon series. Anyway, it's finally coming out. So whether this is a Hearthstone killer or not, probably not, but it's probably worth checking out at some point if you are so desirous. Would you say that again? If you're what?
Oh, if you're a Fable fan, you can't miss out.
Can you, though? Can't you? I think I could. I think I could miss out. I think it's fine. Fable's day is long behind it. I don't think Fable has the push or the heft that it used to have, for sure. Sony. Sony has patented a new PSVR motion controller. Oh, yes, that's right. No longer, potentially, will you have to use your snow cone-looking freaking Move controller from 2010 to control your PlayStation VR motion control. This new PSVR peripheral utilizes new technologies in order to be more immersive in virtual worlds. The headset is new, but a good amount of the games for the device use the old controllers. These two patents were discovered by VR Focus. That's the name of this group. They run a little website. And they show controllers that look a lot like excuse me, the HTC Vive controllers. I'll show these on the screen chat room. You can take a look at it.
I saw the illustration. Yeah, they kind of do. Anything's got to be better than those things they got now, right?
Oh yeah, no. I mean, look, the Move does. I mean, they were there when they needed them, right? Like, it was like, oh shit, you guys, we have to put out a place. We have to put out VR. Oh no. Okay. What should we do? We don't have controllers. Just use the Move ones. We got a billion of these in stock. Let's sell them now. Like, you kind of have to admire the business acumen of using Move controllers, but
right,
they don't have quite the level of interactivity.
Absolutely
you would like.
Absolutely not, because a couple of reasons. First of all, the sensor that detects them is just that one single camera sensor that the PlayStation 4 has. So getting a room-filled, you know, experience is going to be pretty tough.
Yep. So these have a little hand strap. They look like I said, a lot like Vive controllers. They're a little shorter, maybe. And they got a trigger underneath, bunch of buttons on top, including an analog stick in the middle, and probably corresponding PlayStation.
So basically,
style.
They like took the little navigation, the little secondary navigation thing, and plopped it on top of the Move controller,
kinda,
right? Yeah. With that stupid ball.
Yeah, kind of that. I think that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, I don't know. Whatever. I don't have a PlayStation VR, but
right.
I'll check this out.
And they're looking at kind of going like the Windows mixed reality route, which was to put the sensors in the headgear.
Oh, right. Yeah. Although I don't know that it's ever yielded much for them outside of just normal VR stuff. I mean, you have to have the camera for location stuff. So yes and no. And it's also, you know, reportedly, now I don't have one, so I can't say for sure, but everybody I talk to with a PSVR spends a lot of time manually tweaking to make sure everything's working, because the camera's not great at sensing your position.
And I'll tell you, it must be closer on the horizon than we probably think, because I've seen a huge plummet in prices for the current generation of PSVR headsets.
Yeah. I don't know if we're going to get new headsets or not, but we're definitely, well, I shouldn't even say definitely. We think we're getting new controllers. We don't know.
Right.
Time will tell, and so will we. Things on the PC are interesting. PUBG hit 30 million units sold on PC. That was already known. What was not known
units.
Is how long it would last. And guess what? Player counts are down.
No.
Sorry. Ugh, ate lunch late. Player.
And here it comes.
Player Unknown's Battleground, smash hit multiplayer survival game. It's not survival. Who wrote this? Polygon?
You got to survive. You have to wait. That's a bummer.
They're using the wrong name. It's not a survival game. By the way, I did play a bunch. Someone in the chat asked earlier if I've been playing any more of that Subnautica, the survival underwater game thing. I think that game is really nifty and cool, but I don't like survival games, so I kind of have fallen off a bit. I wish it was more quest-based or something. I don't know. It's just not my thing.
Survival games. I wish all my games were D&D.
They don't have to be that. I just, the whole, everything from DayZ to freaking Rust to this, like, I'm just, you know, even Minecraft, I just don't care for it.
It's not your game.
It's never been my genre. It's never been. But anyway, so the game sold a ton of these. But now the player base has dropped. Now, some would say, well, that's because the free-to-play alternative is doing really well right now, which is Fortnite and their Battle Royale game. And that's free-to-play. It's 100 players. Plus, they have some cool variants on that. I think there's something to that. I keep noticing it keeps going up in numbers on Twitch while PUBG is going down. I mean, you can't expect these things to last forever. That isn't to say PUBG isn't the superior experience. I think it probably is. But, you know, you can only be top dog for so long, man. People come in and they get some other ideas. And before you know it, you're having to compete for those players. That's just the way this chicken roosts itself.
The chicken roost, the way the chicken fries. Mm-hmm. The, you know, also, there's been a lot of frustration in recent months with all the cheating in PUBG that has probably caused a lot of this frustration. And they're working on fixing that. So I think you'll see this stabilize. I don't think it's a plummet. I don't think it's like the beginning to the plummet or anything.
No,
I just think
it doesn't feel plummety.
It's an adjustment.
Yeah, an adjustment. Yeah. There you go. It's like the stock market. You can't go up always.
Yeah, and it's not like when you jump out of that plane in PUBG. It's not going to just, you know, no, it's going to be all right.
Oh, no, sales are falling. Well, whatever. They've already sold 30 million. They're already in such a success that it's gross. So a little pullback is probably expected at this point. All right, emails. Let's get to our emails for the week. Email, really. This one came to us from Justin from Arkansas, or as I like to say, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm, in my toilet.
He said he sent this to boopshow@gmail.com. He says, Scott and Brian, I recently bought the Secret of Mana remake for PS4. In doing so, I broke two big gaming rules for myself. One, never pre-order a game. So I guess he pre-ordered it. Two, never shop at GameStop. I guess he pre-ordered it and shopped at GameStop. The only reason I broke these rules is because I wanted a physical copy of the Secret of Mana remake because physical copies are limited and available only at GameStop. I had no choice but to pre-order. My question for you guys is this. One, do you have similar gaming rules for yourselves? Two, have you ever broke said gaming rules because you had no choice? Curious to know, Justin. He says, P.S. Secret of Mana remake is awesome, by the way. All right.
Oh, cool.
It's on Steam as well. If I play it, I'll probably get it there. My only rules are I no longer want to collect crap. I'm done with that in my life. I think collecting physical stuff just makes me a partial hoarder, and I don't want to do it. So I don't buy CDs. I don't buy video games anymore that are packaged if I can help it. I will always go digital at most opportunities. Now, once in a while, there'll be some sale. Like on Amazon, it's like, well, if you get the physical copy of this new Switch game, we'll save you 20%. In those cases, price wins out. I'll get a physical copy for my Switch at that point. But if I can help it, it's all digital all the time. That's my only real rule. And then I don't like survival games. That's my other rule. I may have mentioned that earlier in the show.
That's a rough rule.
Yeah.
That's a hard, rough rule. Now, Justin, I have the same rule that you have, which is never, ever, 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 ever pre-order unless I don't have an option, in which case I will. Because, Secret of Mana remake, you wanted it, you had to have it, and it was limited, and that's the difference. I never pre-order things. They're not limited. And I'm rarely baited into pre-ordering something because of a special gun in the game or something like that. I usually don't go for that because usually when I get them, I don't ever use them.
Yeah. Well,
it's but if there's a collectible that goes along with it, sometimes I will. Like the NES Classic Mini that came out.
Right.
I had to pre-order that. I knew that these buttholes over at Nintendo weren't going to make enough.
You were sure.
And that
I was
absolutely positive. And guess what? I was right. And so I had to do it. But I also, said the buttholes are going to do it again on the Super NES, and I ordered it. And guess what? There's plenty.
Yeah.
So I took my chance, but I'm glad I did because I got both of them, and there was no penalty.
But you didn't have an option to get that any other way. Like, you either had to pre-order it or not get it, you know?
Well, the Super NES made it to the stores.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to pre-order them. They promised they would not do the same thing they did with the NES Mini. Yeah. And they pretty much came through.
So the speaking of the Secret of Mana game, never played it originally on the, what was it on? NES? Like, that's how old it is, right? Isn't the Mana games from at least it's, Super NES, like a long time ago?
Right.
Hold on, I can tell you actually. 16-bit era, Secret Mana display. Oh, yeah, it was Super NES, top-down perspective.
Super.
Blah, blah, blah. Game features characters, virtual console, something, something. Okay. A lot of people love it. I know that, and I understand it. And it's a Square Enix joint.
And it looks like Stardew Valley, and yeah.
Does it? Or does Stardew Valley look like it, is what you're saying. Yeah. That's what you mean.
That's what I'm saying.
So what I want to know is, what do they do in the new version? Is it just remastered, like, so it runs on modern systems, or did they do something to it? Because he called it a remake, and I don't know if I agree.
That's a good question. A remastering would imply that it was just same story, same gameplay, just redid maybe the audio and the visuals. And it's definitely a more modern look if you look at it. So I don't know if they use the same game layout. So that's a good question. I don't know how to answer that.
All right.
It's a remake. But they do call it a remake.
Well, yeah, they do say that here, don't they? Secret of Mana 2018 review. I'll have to look around. I'm semi sort of kind of maybe interested in that, but I need to know more because I just never played the original. So, thanks for your email, boopshow@gmail.com. That's where you send it, and you should. Let's get out of here. We're done. Frogpants.com/BOOP. That's boop. If you're looking for the website, you can also find us via Twitter @BoopShow. Brian's @TheBrianDunaway. I'm @ScottJohnson. And you can check that out. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/frogpants. Appreciate everyone who does. And there's a Reddit page, boopshow.reddit.com. I always look at the way where you put the R in there and who cares.
Right, it's just the subreddit.
Boopshow is the thing. And you can go boopshow.reddit.com and you're there. That's it, I think. Brian, I heard you're gonna play Rhyme after this, maybe, or what's the deal? You're thinking about it?
I'm gonna go inside, sit on my couch, fire up the PS4, and I'm gonna play a little more Rhyme.
And you're gonna stream it, right? You're streaming it?
Right, yeah, on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/BrianDunaway.
Oh, very nice. Go check that out. If you are interested in Dungeons and Dragons and all this crap I've been talking about, you might want to check out our There Will Be Dungeon show on Saturdays from 3 to 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Starts at 2 Pacific and 5 Eastern. You can check it out at frogpants.tv. We play every week, and it's fantastic. If you're like, I need to catch up, that's no problem, because we have it on podcast, YouTube, Twitch VODs, all that stuff available after the fact. So come live or hard drive. We don't care, but we want you there. Well, it's rhymed. Everything rhymed that I just said. You almost say rhyme.
Too bad you didn't play rhyme.
Yeah, you're right. I would rather, you know what? But also, by the way, the word rhyme, where you rhyme with people, I wish that was spelled R-I-M-E. Do you know why? Because the other spelling is stupid. It's always been dumb. It's long and complicated. Why is it so dumb? Just R-I-M-E. Done. Phonetic. Done. There's your English for today, everybody.
Yes, we should totally make everything phonetically spelled. Scott. That's what it's a great
saying.
Idea.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. We will, like I said, be back next week with more of The Boop Show. Will you be here? Will you listen in? Well, of course you will. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.